Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Sai Life Sciences Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddhesh Chawan from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sejal. Good evening to all the participants on this call. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business risk that could cause future result performance or achievements to differ significantly from what it is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Please note that we have mailed the results, and same are available on the company's website. In case if you have not received the same, you can write to us, and we will be happy to send the same over to you. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the top management of Sai Life Sciences Limited, represented by Mr. Krishna Kanumuri, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Siva Chittor, Chief Financial Officer. We'll start the call with a brief overview of the company and quarter gone past, and then conduct the Q&A session. With that said, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Krishna Kanumuri. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddhesh. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the first, I guess, conference call from Sai as a public company. It's a great experience for us. We're really excited about the progress we've made, and I really want to share our performance for the last quarter and give you an overview of our strategy going forward. But before we begin, I really want to thank all our investors and shareholders who really participated in IPO and made this place a trust in us. And we take this very seriously, and we are really focused on building long-term value for all investors. A special thanks to our bankers, legal counsels, and all stakeholders who played a critical role in guiding us through this process. Most importantly, I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to the entire Sai Life Sciences team. Their dedication and hard work have been instrumental in shaping the company to what it is today. And let me start with a brief introduction of the company. Sai Life Sciences was founded in 1999 with a vision to be a trusted partner to global pharmaceutical and biotech innovators. Our journey began in Hyderabad, India, where our founder, Dr. K. Rangaraju, recognized an opportunity to create a world-class research and manufacturing organization rooted in scientific excellence and operational excellence. From day one, we've been focused on accelerating the journey of molecules from discovery to the market by providing best-in-class contract research development and manufacturing services. Over the years, we have evolved from being a chemistry provider into an integrated end-to-end solution provider, catering to the leading innovators from the U.S., U.K., EU, and Japan. A key strength of Sai Life Sciences is our culture and team. Our culture is based on a high level of transparency, focus on fundamentals, and building empowered teams. We are one of the most experienced senior leadership teams in the CDMO industry, with over 25 years of average experience, a fully integrated global team across India, U.S., and U.K., which brings diverse experiences and a foundational scientific team we've developed over the years and further strengthening our ability to serve clients with industry-leading expertise. This deep sector knowledge, combined with our relentless focus on innovation, has positioned us as a preferred partner for global pharmaceutical companies. Today, we serve 300-plus active customers, including 18 of the top 25 global pharmaceutical companies. We have an impeccable track record of 100% successful regulatory inspections across both our R&D and manufacturing facilities, including approval from U.S. FDA and PMDA. One of our early milestones was establishing a cutting-edge R&D center in Hyderabad, which became the foundation for our innovation-driven approach. This phase of development was focused on early process research and early clinical supplies. Soon after, we strategically expanded to Bidar, setting up a large-scale manufacturing facility designed to handle and deliver complex innovative clinical and commercial APIs. In 2020, we established our centers of excellence in Manchester, U.K., and discovery biology in, sorry, Manchester, U.K., for process chemistry and discovery biology in Cambridge, USA, allowing us to better serve customers closer to the innovation hubs and significantly expand our scientific team. These facilities enable our customers to have face-to-face interactions with the Sai scientists and to accelerate the pace of tech transfer to India and getting new programs started. The expansion reflects our commitment to being a global, integrated CRMO partner and not just an outsourced service provider. Today, Sai Life Sciences is on the front of India's right in the global pharmaceutical landscape. We supply over 31 commercial molecules and have a strong development pipeline of life-saving medicines across diverse therapeutic areas, oncology, metabolic diseases, CNS disorders, inflammation, antivirals, and rare diseases. While I set the narrative on an overall basis for who we are, I'd like to focus on a few pointers for investors and analysts to understand our market positioning and aspirations. We are one of the few companies that is globally competitive across the full range of integrated services spanning discovery, development, to commercial manufacturing. The most successful companies in the CDMO sector over the last two decades have been WuXi and Pharmaron. The key to their success has been the ability to offer high-quality services at scale across the drug discovery, development, and commercialization journey. The pharma industry is getting increasingly competitive, with time to market being one of the key success factors. All things being equal, innovators want to work with companies offering a broader range of services as it reduces the time and effort that is needed to transition between development stages, eliminating the need to break transfer. We admit from a scale standpoint, we have a way to go. At a foundational level and a scientific level, we are now able to compete qualitatively globally on all these areas. Over the last decade, we have built a very long-standing relationship with large pharma innovators and the biotech ecosystem, which has become a strong moat for us as we strive to grow the business by increasing both the breadth and depth of our services and these relationships. And we have seen some tremendous traction and see strong momentum because of relentless pursuit of the strategy and by making strategic investments in both people and infrastructure at the appropriate time. The second aspect is the CRDMO business itself is inherently lumpy in nature. You're basically working through a complete product development cycle. You're not dealing with a mature product or two. This can give rise to short-term spikes in our financials. These are about new products being launched in markets through the cycle, phase one, phase two, or multiple phases based on clinical data. So it's a long lead cycle business, and we would urge all analysts and investors to analyze us from a 3 to 5 year horizon perspective, as opposed to focus on short-term results, which could then lead to questions topmost in mind of most investors. How do they look at our future as we go forward? While we adopted a policy of not giving specific guidance on any parameters, the long-term aspiration is going to CAGR 15-20% when you consider 3 to 5 year blocks and ensure that margins continue improving as we move down this path. Shiva will speak a bit more on the financials in his prepared remarks, but I felt it was very important to set this marker so we can focus on the direction of business as we meet in the next conference call. Now, turning to our performance for Q3 25, we are pleased to report healthy performance this quarter, driven by our focus on expanding capacity, embracing cutting-edge technologies, and meeting evolving needs of the industry. This quarter, we delivered 15% year-over-year growth, with our CDMO and CRO business contributing 60% and 40% total revenue, respectively. Our EBITDA grew by 19% year-over-year, with a margin expansion of 110 basis points, while the PAT grew by 29% year-over-year, supported by operational efficiencies and strong order pipeline. Again, Shiva will dwell deeper into financials, but I'm just stating the top-line numbers. What gives me the confidence for this business as we move forward? I'd like to enumerate a few areas where we believe our model and expertise will play out. Broader set of offerings. As mentioned earlier, we are not a one-trick pony, and hence our broader sales funnels enables us to bring in customers at different points of the development journey. And we're able to cross-sell more effectively because of our multiple service offerings. And with supply chain diversification post-COVID, everybody is actively looking at credible sources outside of China. And India only has 5% of the global market. So we have enough room for significant growth in the coming decade easily. Long-standing relationships, while I've spoken about this initially, this remains a preeminent strength. We work with 25 big pharma companies, and these relationships have been cultivated over the years. With this as a base, customers have expanded the service needs across multiple modalities. Our ability to meet these diverse demands and get products to market is a value proposition few Indian companies offer. Sustainability remains a key pillar for our long-term vision. We continue to integrate responsible practices across our operations, focusing on energy efficiency, digital transformation, and innovation in sustainable manufacturing. Our investment in renewable energy, including a 2.7 megawatt wind turbine, has significantly increased the use of green energy at our Bidar facility to 89% in FY24. We remain committed to reduce our environmental footprint, enhancing workplace safety, fostering an inclusive workforce while delivering long-term value to our stakeholders. In closing, we firmly believe that India is entering a golden era in the global pharmaceutical innovation. Historically, only a few companies have successfully scaled as integrated players. But over the next decade, India is set to emerge as a major player in the global innovation ecosystem, with the ability to match China's scale while maintaining the cost efficiencies. India presents a compelling alternative for global pharma companies seeking long-term partnerships. Looking ahead, we are confident in our ability to build on the momentum we have established. We are committed to further enhancing our technological capabilities, investing in infrastructure, and expanding our global footprint. We are excited about the road ahead and remain focused on driving long-term value for all our stakeholders. With that, I would like to hand over to call Shiva Chittur, our CFO, who will provide an update on financial performance for Q3 25.
Thank you, Krishna. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm pleased to share our Q3 FY25 financial performance. This reflects our continued business momentum, our operational discipline, and strong customer relationship. The small molecule outsourcing business remains robust, with both the CRO and the CDMO segments meeting anticipated growth trends. Revenue growth across both segments reflects increased business from existing customers and product as well as new collaboration. This quarter, our revenue from operations grew to 440 crores, a 15% increase compared to the 384 crores in Q3 FY24. This growth was on account of continued momentum across the CDMO and the CRO business, which account for 60 and 40% of the total revenue approximately. Margin improvement remains a key focus, with multiple operational efficiency activities underway. For Q3 FY25, our EBITDA margin increased to 28%, up from 27% in Q3 FY24. This steady margin improvement reflects enhanced operational productivity, operating leverage, and cost control initiatives that we had undertaken during the year. Our profit before tax saw a significant increase of 35%, rising from 53 crores in Q3 FY24 to 72 crores in 25. Our profit after tax rose to 54 crores in Q3 25 from 40 crores in Q3 24, which reflects a 36% growth. The improved profitability is primarily driven by strong revenue growth and cost management and stable finance costs. Employee costs for the period increased by 9%, moving from 122 crores in Q3 FY24 to 133 crores in Q3 FY25, aligning with the increased billable headcount in relation to the discovery business. This increase also reflects our continued investment in talent and organizational growth, which is very critical for a business that is based on people and talent. Finance costs remain relatively stable at 23 crores for Q3 FY25 compared to 23 crores in the same quarter last year, indicating effective debt management and working capital. As of December 24, the company had repaid 585 crores of debt out of the planned repayment of 720 crores of the IPO proceeds. The remaining debt was repaid in January, and we expect a reduction in interest cost in the current quarter. Our earnings per share increased from rupees 2.2 in Q3 FY24 to 2.9 in Q3 FY25. This reflects a 32% year-on-year increase. Now, coming to the 9 months performance. Performance for the 9 months ended December 31st, 2024, as compared to the last year same period, showed an overall increase in total income from 1,052 crores to 1,142 crores. This reflects a 9% growth. Our EBITDA margin rose to 24% compared to 17% in the same period last year, and this reflects a 700 basis point improvement. Our profit before tax for the 9 months grew significantly from 33 crores to 109 crores in 25. This reflects an increase of 228%, and our profit after tax grew 207% from 82 crores from 27 crores in fiscal 24. Gross margin for the period was around 73%, up from 69% in the previous period. Employee costs rose in line with our strategic investment in talent and the growth in discovery business. It increased from 364 crores in 24 to 398 crores in 25. Operating cash flows for the 9 months ended December 24 were 246 crores. This represents 92% of the EBITDA for the period. The company recorded a positive free cash flow of 21 crores during this period. Capital expenditure for the 9 months ended December 24 was 300 crores. The company added 100 KL to its manufacturing capacity in November and expects to add another 100 KL in Q1 FY26. Average capacity utilization for the 9 months ended December 2024 was 65%. In addition to this manufacturing capacity addition, the company expanded the discovery R&D capacity in Hyderabad by 15% through addition of lab spaces for chemistry and biology. We believe that the growth is on account of the long-term growth strategy that was initiated in 2019, and we remain committed to expanding capacity and enhancing technological capabilities to drive long-term growth. Our ongoing investments in digitization and automation are key to improving our operational efficiencies and positioning the business for sustained success. As part of our strategic financial management, we are utilizing the proceeds from the IPO to repay debt, strengthen our balance sheet, and reduce financial leverage. This proactive approach supports our long-term growth and operational flexibility. Over the past 5 years, we've consistently invested in expanding capabilities, including advanced technology platforms, scientific expertise, and infrastructure enhancements. These investments are translating today into higher customer retention, an increasing share of projects, and a growing pipeline of opportunities. As alluded by Krishna, we will emphasize improving margin and we aspire to reach an EBITDA margin range of 28 to 30%. For the next 4 to 5 years, we aim for a revenue CAGR of around 15 to 20%. That said, I would like to reiterate that the business has certain amount of lumpiness and quarterly swings, and hence we would like the investors to look at a longer horizon to evaluate the company. Looking ahead, we remain confident in our long-term growth trajectory. The global pharmaceutical and biotech industry continues to shift towards outsourcing. This is driven by the need for innovation, efficiency, speed, and scalability. With our established relationship, integrated capabilities, and track record of execution, we are well positioned to capitalize on this trend. Additionally, we see strong demand across our CDMO business as pharma and biotech companies seek cost-efficient, high-quality manufacturing solutions and supply chain diversification. The aging global population and increasing healthcare needs will continue to drive long-term demand for pharmaceutical innovation, creating significant opportunities for our business. From a financial perspective, our focus will remain on maintaining revenue growth, optimizing margin, and improving cash flow efficiency. We will continue to invest in expanding capacity, strengthening our talent base, and enhancing operational efficiency. This, we believe, will drive sustainable and profitable growth. To conclude, Q3 FY25 was a robust quarter marked by healthy top-line growth, improving profitability, and a promising outlook for the future. Our integrated business model, strong customer relationship, and financial discipline position us for a long-term value creation. We remain committed to delivering sustained growth, enhancing shareholder value, and strengthening our market leadership. Thank you. I would now like to open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers and best wishes for the journey ahead. My first question will be on the biotech funding in US. One of your peers talked about the pace of recovery being more gradual than they anticipated. Thus, the discovery business revenues were slower than what they were expecting a few quarters back. How is the demand environment that we are seeing?
The discovery business, if you look at it, it's in a different cycle at this point. If I just have to go back and take a step back, a lot of money is coming into biotech, but it's going into later phase programs. A number of new company startups have not really started yet. You will probably see the new company formation start right after some consolidation happens. So we are seeing a lot of consolidation right now and the consolidated entities are raising money, and these are for, and these companies are expanding. But the new company creation definitely has slowed down. Time frame is hard to judge. It's your guess as good as mine in terms of when new company formation is going to start. But the demand from the larger players has been pretty robust at this point.
Right. So in light of that, you know, like when we look at seasonality from the limited data that we have, typically quarter four is the strongest for the company. Would that still hold with the visibility that you have today?
Yes, broadly, without giving a specific guidance, Binay, I think quarter four has generally been the strongest quarter that we've had, and quarter three and quarter four relatively, the H2 is generally stronger than H1, which is, you know, the case with most the CDMO business across, and we also believe that it will be the same way.
And lastly, just on capacity and CapEx, I saw the comment that you made about 65% utilization rate of capacity. That would be as of, so in a way the November facility would only be available for 1 month. So the actual utilization rate that you would have in this quarter would have in a way come down. So do you think, do you expect any adverse impact of that on margins?
I don't believe so, Binay. I think the second set of capacity, because we believe that there are products that are ready to go into this facility, not that they will all be at the 65-70%, but we don't believe that this will impact the margin, you know, significantly.
That's good to know. And lastly, just on CapEx, we've done around 300 crores in the 9 months. If you could give some guidance for the full year number and for next year.
I think based on how deliveries and how, you know, things reaches our size, this expenditure is based on how we book our numbers. We probably expect to add another 100 to 125 crores in this current quarter.
And how to think about it for next year?
We're working on much more details, and as we kind of finalize our plans, we will come back to you with some more specific guidance.
Just to give you a perspective, Binay, a little bit about what we've done so far is we've completed some land acquisition in the last quarter. We've doubled the land area we have available for our business center in Hyderabad. We have bought land for another site in Hyderabad for manufacturing, and we also bought a lot of surrounding land around Bidar to expand our footprint there. Right now, we are in detailed planning stage, both from a revenue guidance standpoint and investment across all three areas of our business, discovery, CMC, and development. We expect we will have significant investment, not investment, but increase in capacity across all three areas, based on the demand we're seeing right now from our customers. And we will update you as soon as we make this little bit more clarity on that numbers.
Great, Tima. That's encouraging to know. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. So firstly, can you comment on the visibility for the CRO segment in particular, given that the funding environment is not fully back yet?
I think, Alankar, I think what we are seeing, I think based on the whole integrated discovery strategy that we had put in place, we are seeing a reasonable trend in terms of growth, and that is kind of reflected in what in our numbers for this year. I believe that the funding situation is not 100% back to where it probably was in during the COVID period, and I don't believe that we will get to the COVID period funding. But our understanding of what we are seeing is that there is reasonable amount of traction in the business. That said, one of the increased focus for us as a company is to kind of add increased, traction with the large pharma customers, which has also helped us kind of take care of any specific shorter term funding related issues.
Understood. The second one is more on the, I mean, both on CRO and CDM actually. Qualitatively, possibly provide some color on the number of RFPs as well as the number of client audits which you have been seeing over the last one. Specifically within that, is there any change in these RFPs as well as client audits given the delay in the BioSecure Act?
Lankar, just we don't really focus too much on RFPs per se. We focus much more on customer visits and what we're seeing. But what I can definitely say is that from the pharma standpoint, nothing has changed. I think pharma has made a long-term decision to kind of diversify from China. It's just a question of customer concentration. I think this deleveraging started back in post-COVID. I think BioSecure probably just pushed it in the right direction, but I think nobody seems to be going any slower. I think they're accelerating their plan. Not accelerating their plan, but just to be very kind, pharma came with a 5-10 year horizon. They haven't come and said, we're here today, I want you to perform tomorrow. They're really building these relationships slowly. So I think fundamentally, I think we are seeing that traction continue. And what you're seeing in terms of the BioSecure Act, biotech funding is more to blame rather than the BioSecure Act itself. I think any biotech with funding is looking at both China and India as options. So we are not seeing any change in terms of people's strategy. It's the timing might change based on the funding environment.
I think, Alankar, just to kind of go back to the prospectus that we had filed, even prior to BioSecure and post-COVID, if you look at our number of products that we have tech transferred from other geographies as a means of supply chain diversification, we've actually added more than 15 products that have moved from a different geography into Sai as part of supply chain diversification, and we continue to see a lot more traction in that area.
That's helpful, sir. And one bookkeeping question, you mentioned the split between CRO, CDMO for the 9 months, possible to share that for the third quarter as well?
I think it is almost, reasonably similar, but I can come back to you with specific numbers, Alankar.
Fair enough, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening all. I think your comments on margins and growth are kind of pretty well understood for me at least. The challenge I see is that if I assume a 400-500 crore of capex over the next 3-4 years, I don't find the asset turns to be improving quite meaningfully from where they are at currently. Given that the utilization at 65%, I estimate that the asset turns on a full balance sheet basis will be 1.1 to 1.2 times, and 0.5 to 0.6 times, and on a fixed asset turns basis will be 1.1 to 1.2 times. So any particular reason why asset turns are slightly on the lower side for a business which is also 40% into CRO?
So Nikhil, I think when we had given the numbers for fiscal 24, our asset turn, the net fixed asset turn excluding CV was around 1.2. I would guess we would probably be around the same number at the end of the year somewhere, give or take. CRO does not necessarily mean lower expenditure. I think what we need to understand is biology, the MPK, automations all call for huge expansion with respect to equipment and analytical instruments that you need to buy. So I do not believe that just because it is discovery that the asset turn should be higher. And if you can look at the global trends and Indian peers in CRO, you will find that the asset turns are fairly similar.
Okay, so just trying to understand the capital efficiency of the business, where does it settle at? Because margins are improving this year. I think if all goes well in 4Q and you close FY25 by 24-25% margins and 65-67% utilization rate, which is what you have disclosed, the capital efficiency of the business or return on equity will be 9-10%. So what are your thoughts over a 3-4 year period where this capital efficiency number can kind of settle at if there is no major lever available on the asset turn side?
I think our our aspiration on the ROCE side, I'm looking at more return on capital employed, is probably a mid to high teens over a 3-4-year period. That's really what we aspire to get to.
Okay. And for that to happen, a minimum 15% growth CAGR is has to happen, and that you are quite confident of in a 3-4-year time frame. Is that the right way of looking at it?
That is the right way of looking at it, and that's really what we are, as we see today, we believe that is something that is possible.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you so much for your time. My question was, you know, similar to the earlier participant's question, that, you know, if you're investing about 400-450 crores in CapEx this year, and you know, to maintain the trend rate going ahead, just that's just an assumption. If you're guiding 15-20% revenue growth, that would still mean that, you know, our assets would remain a bit underutilized. Is it fair to assume that, you know, we're being a bit conservative in our guidance, that if some of the pipeline comes through, we can grow a bit faster? Is that how we should read it? Or because otherwise we are investing more than what we're guiding for in terms of growth. So just trying to connect the two and, you know, make a better understanding. Thank you.
So, Madhav, I think what we are guiding you is a 3-4-year period kind of a growth rate. The investment period for any asset to become productive is 18-24 months before they actually become productive, even to do 1% utilization. And then at that point in time, you start utilizing the asset. So there is obviously some bit of underutilization that is factored in. That's kind of the nature of the industry. Unfortunately, that's how the industry works. If a customer does not see a facility up and running, product is at a phase two, let's say in clinical trial, it will be very difficult as a partner to kind of go ahead and actually capture that business. So you're right about there is this phenomena in the industry, and that's why we are saying and then look at the global trends. Go back and look at WuXi, go back and look at Pharmaron. If you look at anybody in the global sector, people who have been reasonably successful, considered very successful in the CRO CDMO business. I think the asset turns, the ROCE is all guided by factors of continuous investments. And if you do not invest in the shorter term, our overall growth rate over a long term will suffer. And that can, while we will be able to continue to show a better ROCE, we will not be able to show growth and revenue on a consistent basis.
No, that makes sense. And given that, if you just look at the, of course, we have only 3 years of data, even recently listed company. Seems like, you know, we have stepped up on the CapEx. If I look at FY22, FY23, FY24, the combined CapEx that we're doing this year is more than the last 3 years combined. So basically, is that just qualitatively sign that, you know, some of the molecules in the pipeline are a bit more late stage, which could help in growth over a 2-3-year period? Is that how we should read it? I mean, is that how the company management is thinking as well?
That is true. I think, you know, if you look at the commentary we had provided at the DRHP stage two, I think what we had stated is that there have been a lot of molecules that even got tech transferred from China, something that we also alluded to earlier in the conversation. A lot of these molecules are now reaching a phase where they are independently scaling up, and we are seeing capacities getting utilized. I think what we are seeing from the way we look at the addition is not just the capitalization in the books, but more in terms of stating what we bought during the year. That is what I said, is 300 crores. The cash spend will be slightly lower, and that just depends on the timing and payment and everything else. But it is, you're right, there are molecules that are scaling up, and these will kind of get to more efficiency as these molecules kind of become bigger by themselves.
I think, Jamil, just adding a little bit, I think as we focus on commercial molecules, another trend which we have to look at, which is we are seeing very clearly, is a lot of the development assets of large pharma are moving to India, especially beyond phase one from China. So we're seeing a significant increase of traction over the last couple of quarters in the number of compounds coming in just from development stage, which all will need plant capacity. So we're seeing a new trend in terms of number of clinical candidates likely to come in as well. So there is definitely a lot healthier pipeline coming in because of the global strategy, which also will hopefully lead to better realization of the CapEx as we move forward. But only thing is we can't, right, so that's why we say we're doing the detailed planning along with forecasts, because we have a lot more data in front of us at this point. That's the best way I can answer it right now.
So that makes a lot of sense. Just one last follow-up question was, these molecules that kind of, you know, you're seeing an accelerated pipeline build out is what I understand. Are more of these molecules versus the past more in the later stage of the development cycle, like maybe phase two, phase three, where we're seeing, is that how we should understand?
Actually, it's an interesting mix of other kind. I think we have always seen late phase, because typically if you look at what used to happen, most of the molecules were developed in China, primarily as primary source, and they would come to India for secondary source. We used to see products generally later in the process. But what we are seeing is now today we're seeing both late phase, which are coming from China, but we're seeing a lot more of the phase one to phase three assets coming in, which are moving much earlier than they did post-COVID. So we're seeing a big pipeline of compounds coming much earlier, and that might be relatively key to us because we are very strong in development. That's a big area we focused on. So I think we are seeing a lot of traction on the development side as well, a early pipeline coming from pharma, which was not the case before.
And we are the primary supplier now, we're being secondary. Is that a change as well which happened?
It's hard to say at this point. It's too early to see where it's going to pan out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shikha Gupta from Quadria Capital. Please go ahead.
Wanted to understand how is the biology services performing for the company?
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am. Your line is not very clear. I would request you to please use your handset. Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the connection of the current participant. We will move on to the next participant. The next question is from the line of Alok Dalal from Jefferies India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. Krishna, just to understand, for the CDMO business, for next year, the driver will be these existing products, or is there some new filing which has happened and you can see incremental growth from that?
Alok, there are some products from the existing pipeline which are growing, but there are also a lot of other products also we're working on right now, which obviously will contribute. But existing ones will contribute a significant part of that growth from visibility we have at this point.
And within those existing, is it that you become a preferred supplier now versus a secondary supplier earlier?
I don't have much data on that. I don't want to comment on that at this point. But it's just based on the maturing of molecules and growth of the molecules more than anything else.
Okay. And is there any molecule from the partner side which is expected to go off patent?
Not next year, no.
Okay. Second question is on the overseas sites, Boston and Manchester. Are they still a drag on profitability, or you've seen a change here?
There has been a change. It's not probably at the most ideal point that we would like it to be, but there's been a very positive change in terms of how those businesses are functioning.
So basically, they are no longer a drag on profitability when you look at your third quarter or 9 month number.
Correct.
Okay, correct. And Siva, would you have the sales mix for 9 month FY24? So same time last year, would you have the sales mix between CDMO and CRO?
Give me a second. Look, I don't have this ready made with me, but I can send that out to you.
Okay, fine. Okay, thank you, Siva. I'll connect offline.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, hi. So when you mentioned, you know, in the early statements that you envisage, you know, an EBITDA margin range of 20% to 30%. So by when do you expect, you know, this starting to show on a P&L? Is it from next quarter? You meant from slowly progressing from next year onwards?
I think the 28-30% steady state that we are saying we'll get there in the next 2 to 3 years. That's our stated objective.
So this 27% or so which you did in the third quarter of this year, is that also sustainable for the next few quarters?
So here, Rahil, here's the thing. I think the business inherently has some amount of seasonality. So, quarters where your revenues are lower, your fixed cost kind of then impacts your operational efficiency and then EBITDA and profitability. So to that extent, the second half of the year will have a sustainable number that you are seeing today. And then the first half, as we get more commercial products and revenue becomes much more steady state and linear, will actually get us to that 28-30%. That's why they're giving us a couple of years, 2-3 years that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And on the revenue front, when you mentioned this 15-20% CAGR, we can factor that in from the next onwards, right? FY26. Any outlook for this closing year?
I don't want to give you any specific guidance, but I think one of the participants asked us this question about the first half being lighter than the second half and Q4 being heavier than Q3. I would like to reiterate that without actually giving you specific guidance.
Okay, no problem. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Radha Kothari from Archer Advisory. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations to the management for the listing and good results. Sir, just wanted to understand the employee cost. I was just going through your expense base, and the employee cost in your company is relatively very high as compared to the other listed CDMO peers. Is there any one of this or something has been preponed and that should go normalized going forward?
So Radha, very good question. I think if you look at the mix of the business that we have, 40% of our business is the CRO business and the 60% is CDMO, and we have a very big piece even within the CDMO that kind of works towards development. And in this particular segment of the business, employee is the biggest capital that we actually employ from running this business, and hence employee costs of Sai cannot be directly compared to a pure play CMO where employee costs are much lower. Now, having said that, we have invested over the last couple of years in terms of significantly enhancing our employee talent base. This was done during the period when we were actually looking at those 15 tech transfers to augment our overall commercial pipeline. What we believe over the next 2-3 years, this will help us get better leverage. So if you look at where we are, in terms of margin, some of the improvements in margin that we are talking about will also come from the overall reduction of employee costs as a percentage of revenue.
This is very helpful, sir. Sir, just the whole industry, we are saying that in the recent past, we very excited about the upcoming or the potential opportunities coming up in the space, especially in CDMO, and mainly more on GLP-1 space. Do you, are you also in line of pursuing those things? Do we have the capabilities for that? And are you seeing any inquiries or the requests coming for this?
Look, I think it's fair to say that there's a big shift in GLP-1 across all pharma companies, and anybody in CDMO or business will see traction in the GLP-1 space. Could be peptides, could be building blocks of peptides, or even pure small molecules. We do have clinical assets in that space, but I don't want to comment beyond that. But I guess everybody will be involved in some form or fashion in the metabolic disease area.
So just last question, can you just provide your CAPEX? Because I believe that being in the CDMO, the CAPEX usually is very high. So what are the CAPEX you have earmarked for this year, and if possible, you can throw some light on the next year's CAPEX as well.
So for this year, I think overall, I think 9 months we've said we've incurred 300 crores. We probably will probably get to another 100, 125 crores for the remainder of the financial year. As far as fiscal 26 is concerned, we're working through this process and we will come back to you when our plans are finalized and we'll give more details to everyone.
And this would be funded through internal accruals?
It would be funded a combination of internal accruals and debt.
Oh, got it. Thank you very much. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jeevani from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks sir for taking my question. So within the CDMO business, can you also talk about how do you see commercialization playing out for your phase 3 pipeline molecules? We had around 8 to 10 products in phase 3. So how many of those do you see getting commercialized from the next 2 to 3 year period? And whatever your expectations are in terms of some of these phase 3 products?
I think there is a couple of products that are actually getting commercial by the end of this financial year, at least based on the PDUFA date that the regulator has given them. There is one large molecule that we are working on today that is in phase 3. We expect that to kind of get to fiscal 26-27. Time frame in terms of commercialization. We have a few other molecules, Rahul, but I'm saying, you know, from an overall perspective, there's at least 3-4 molecules that we are seeing that will get commercialized over the next 2-3 year period.
Okay, and can you talk a bit more about this molecule in the large molecule category? Because historically, we have focused on the small molecule segment. So what kind of capabilities are we bringing to the table to scale up in the large molecule segment?
I think he meant the large size of the market, not the therapeutic molecule. So I think,
sure, I got that.
We're just talking about a large opportunity.
There's not large molecules, so sorry.
Okay, sure, sir. No worries. And, sir, with respect to this CAPEX, which we are undertaking of around 350, 400 crore, apart from capacity expansion, what kind of incremental capabilities are we adding on to the business? So at the time of the RHP, we were also talking about having an amidites block, investing in oligonucleotides. So have you seen any traction in some of these niche capabilities or segments?
We have, just going back to what we have stated, is that there'll be four areas we're going to focus on. One is peptides, which we are having a reasonable traction with. Another one is amidites, which we are part of several commercial products on amidites. We are doing the Galanex and also amidites. Another is ADCs. And the next one would be basically any kind of conjugation technologies, going for peptide conjugation, protein conjugation. These are all three areas of interest. We have various conversations with multiple customers and opportunities going forward. And that's what we're evaluating of what we're going to prioritize and what we're going to do. But we have traction in all three areas. But we'll prioritize it based on what is the most immediate need and what we can do most effectively.
And for all of these segments, we would have the requisite capacities in place to drive growth in some of these segments?
We will have to. We are doing capacities on some scale, but we might have to enhance capacity depending on the demand situation coming up at this point. We have capabilities. Capacity will depend on the demand situation, but we have capabilities in all these areas.
Sure, sir. And one last question from my end. Can you also talk about how has the scale-up been with respect to the dedicated project which we had with Schrodinger on the CRO side? Thank you.
It's going very well. We've expanded that collaboration. I will leave it at that, but it's going well and it's expanded.
Okay, so you had around 75 scientists dedicated to that project. So have we increased the number of scientists? If you can talk on that.
I don't think I'm at liberty to share how much it grew, but it has grown.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Alankar Garude from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. So if I look at our presentation, you have mentioned 31 commercial molecules in the current portfolio. Now, if I remember correctly, that number used to be 38 molecules. Can you highlight the reason for this lower number in the current presentation?
It's 38 products going to 31 molecules. So those couple of, might have two intermediates in there.
Ah, okay, understood. The other one is, can you comment about the pricing of FTs? There have been reports over the last 1 year about China being more aggressive. Anything which we have seen at our end, or you continue to see the pricing being more or less stable?
China has been more aggressive. There's no question about it. They price more aggressively, but we have not dropped pricing. In fact, we continue to grow at the 2-3% increase annually for most customers, and we're sticking to our pricing at this point.
Understood, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks everyone for the call and for all your questions. We remain committed to providing long-term shareholder value. And if you have any specific questions, I think appreciate asking us any questions now, or we would talk to you again in the next call.
And just kind of echoing Shiva's comments, we actually feel very good about the business. A lot of opportunities coming our way. We continue to see business momentum, and we will keep you in the loop as we kind of evolve and look forward to it. Any questions, feel free to reach out to us.
Thank you. On behalf of Sai Life Sciences, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.